Are you an artist, band, or record label? We want you to send us your music so we can put it on the radio. Not only this station, but stations across Canada. Check out earshot-distro.ca and share your music with more than 100 radio stations and programmers across the country. Earshot Distro is made by and for the campus community radio sector to help emerging musicians. Uploads cost $7 per song or $50 per album. Learn more at earshot-distro.ca.
Cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen territories of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of this place, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. My name is Leslie. It has been a really busy time here on Typically Tuesdays, and it's also been really exciting because I've been able to explore a lot about idols in my brain. I've essentially configured the last couple of weeks of the show as a series all about the vast range and diversity that the idol universe has to offer. And we're closing off that series today with an interview that plants us right back to our roots here in Vancouver with a much anticipated conversation with some hometown heroes, I guess. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what happened on Typically Tuesdays right before we embarked on this adventure exploring the Idolverse. So a week before we started this journey, CJSF held our annual on-air fundraising campaign Fund Drive. Starting on November 3rd to November 9th, we were raising money to help us rise higher and reach further. That was the slogan of our Fund Drive. And since then, we've been calculating our collection of donations. I'm very pleased to share with you that this year, we raised over $8,300 in donations. We raised specifically $8,309.36. And while that hasn't hit the goal of our $10,000 fund, we're genuinely so grateful for how much you showed up to support your favorite local community radio station. It's no small feat at all. It is with your listenership and loving support that we are able to raise this amount of money, and I want to specifically shout out the individuals who donated to Fund Drive by pledging to Typically Tuesdays. So thank you so much to Sasha. Thank you to Paria. Thank you, Samira. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Jesse, Sam, Randy, and Brianne. From the bottom of our hearts here at CJSF, we cannot do this without you. It is your listenership that motivates us to keep bringing you diverse, interesting, engaging, fun, and thought-provoking radio programming. It is with your generous support that we are able to keep doing what we do, now at a greater capacity and at an even better quality. Thank you so much for being a part of CJSF's community. Thank you so much for making us a part of your story. With you, we rise higher, and with you, we reach further. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, we've gotten a little bit of that housekeeping out of the way. So now the floors are sparkly clean. We're going to welcome our guests onto the show just after this PSA. So take a listen to Ducks Canada about what they have to say. And after that, we'll be talking to Non-Suite.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and I'm here with Non-Suite.
Hello, everyone. We are
Non-Sweet.
So we are a Japanese pop girl group based here in Vancouver, Canada. We've been around for a few years, and this is our second time, I think, on... It's our third time, actually, on Typically Tuesday. So thank you for having us back again. My name is Jessica. I have a member color. It's electric orange.
My name is Eileen. My member color is mystic purple.
And my name is Nina. Member color is honey yellow.
So you've been taking on a lot of different projects recently. And it's been a very busy couple of months for you all. For the listener who's not familiar with Non-Sweet, talk a little bit about what's been going on.
Yeah, so earlier this year, we actually took a little break and then we redebuted in August at Otakon. And then since then, we've been doing a couple of shows in the US. And then we also performed in Vancouver at Nikkei Matsuri. And then I guess when this show is aired, like would be last week, we finally dropped our new single, Reset Button.
Yeah, we kind of redebuted as a trio. So yeah, we did take a break and then finally able to like show everybody the new side of Non-Sweet. In August, we were performing at Otakon in Washington, D.C. That was really fun. Yeah. And we were able to meet so many other fans in the U.S.
Yeah.
And that was really fun to actually like be able to show them the new era of Non-Sweet.
So during our break, we kind of had a lot of meetings.
Yeah, we kind of like group ourselves together again and kind of like go back to what we have really started back in like 2020 when we like all started as a like new group. Mm-hmm. We kind of went through the process of thinking like, oh, what do we want as Non-Sweet? Like, what is our concept? What is our group goal? And what do we want to do in the future? Mm-hmm. And we kind of just like, you know, have multiple meetings, talk about it with each other. And once we have the idea aligned, we started practicing a new set list. Mm-hmm. And starting to prepare for our redebut show.
Yeah, I think like over the years of our activities, we just think that we've kind of grown from our very like beginning like self, and we want to portray ourselves like in a, I guess, like a little bit more mature way. Mm-hmm. Compared to before. So we're challenging like new cooler concept and going back to our roots, like Non-Sweet, like we don't just want to be sweet. So we're trying like some more... yeah, like it's like Reset Button. It's like a more...
We want to show like our cool side. Back in the day, we always say like, oh, we are Non-Sweet. We are not just cute. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think like we are cute because we do a lot of like cute,
energetic songs.
Yeah. But now we really want to like make sure that our concept is like solidly there.
Yeah.
That's why we challenge something that's like more cool side. Mm-hmm. Of the song, yeah.
For me, as somebody who likes female idol groups and stuff, it really follows sort of like the trajectory of like a lot of other female idol groups, right? Where they, though this was not necessarily your purpose, but for many other groups, they debut with something sweeter, cuter, more gentle, maybe more playful. They play with that for a couple of years, and then 3 to 5 years down the line, there's like this shift into something more like elegant, more mature, even more sensual in some ways. So for me, like watching that was, I don't know, I guess like as just a fan of your work, I was really quite curious about what was going to happen. And then to see the new photos and the visual concepts come out was very exciting, because there has also been a big visual shift. Mm-hmm. As well in some ways, instead of it being, was it kind of like pink and purple in the past,
yes.
Right? Lighter, kind of like pastel-y colors. Mm-hmm. Now a lot of it is like royal blue, royal purple, yeah. That type of thing. Well, there's been a lot of like active work that went into preparing for your re-debut, all many, many months of preparation and many meetings. I'm kind of interested in knowing about like the passive stuff that also went behind doing all of that, right? Like what did you do to... what did you do to like nurture your creativity and your inspirations? You know, I want to know more about like essentially like play and relaxation. did you spend the whole month just working on, or the whole month just like working on this, or was there a point in time where you could be like, oh, I'm not going to think about this right now, I need to chill, and then that helped you, you know, regain your HP?
This Jessica's is so laughing. Funny.
I feel like this. I feel like you didn't rest.
No, we didn't. We initially, in our very first meeting, were like, okay, we need to do more like group activities. Like, we need to schedule one fun things per month. We ended up doing nothing like that.
I don't think we did. Yeah.
No. Because we were mostly preparing for shows, and practice does take up a lot of time. We were practicing maybe twice a week.
Sometimes three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes three times a week. That's quite a lot. And then on top of that, we have administrative meetings. So that also takes a lot of time. So whatever time we have left, we weren't really able to like do something fun or relaxing as a group collectively. But I guess like during the trips, we kind of scheduled something. Some activities.
We tried. Like, you know, we will all go to a cafe together and then, like, you know, enjoy yummy food and drinks.
Yeah.
That was one really nice break time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then let's say right now, okay, mm-hmm. like right after the interview, you get to do anything you want to as a group, each of you. Like, I want the girls and I to do this. What would that thing be?
Karaoke,
yeah. Oh,
that sounds really fun. I really want to do afternoon tea with everyone.
Yeah. I was going to say karaoke, but Eileen took it first. But I think I want to go... Honestly, I would love to like have people just like come to my house and we can like play like video games together.
Oh, yeah. Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, yeah.
Are you guys good at Mario Kart?
I'm bad at it.
Oh, I'm bad at it.
Because I never have... people to practice with me. We never really like play like Mario Kart together.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right.
I don't even have to game myself. Yeah.
Dude, I don't even drive. I don't know why I was asking that question.
Same,
yeah.
Same. I actually don't drive.
Do either of you drive?
I drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's great. Oh, okay. That's good.
But driving skill don't apply into Mario Kart. You drift. You don't drive on the road.
Yeah, that's true. It would be a lot more dangerous if you were applying like Mario Kart rules to driving, right?
You're just throwing out shells mid-driving, like over your window.
Yeah, we would have some felons basically up in the interview if that happened. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I think those are great things to do. I hope you guys get to do it very soon. I know you're usually winter is like your period for like resting, so I mm-hmm. hope you're able to do that. Though you do have a show coming up in a couple of months. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. You've been traveling all over to do conventions and such, you know, going to US Idol Fest, but also going to Otakon. And I mean, you even went to Florida for the first time, right? What is it like to, you know, take this period of not performing and then coming back right into the deep end, essentially, to go to all these places that you haven't been before?
Honestly, the first show I came back, like, I feel really rusty, not gonna lie.
Me too. It definitely, like, it definitely feel really rusty, right? Especially, like, at that same day, we know that it's a first show after, like, so many months. And we're seeing, like, what Leslie said just earlier, it was, like, a new crowd, new fan base. And everything that kind of adds up, we definitely feel, like, really nervous than what we have performed before, so that's definitely that.
Yeah, and also like performing on stage is definitely different from practicing in studio. Like, no matter how well you practice it in studio, like the whole, like when you go up on the stage, the whole environment, now that you have all these people in front of you that you need to try to interact with, you have the lights in front of you, you have the speakers, like maybe you're relying on the PA a little bit more, like so many more things that you have to manage compared to practicing in studio. It feels different, but I'm glad that we're back. I really enjoy being on the stage. I feel like after this like intensive summer, I feel a lot better about it. And when I came back to Vancouver, when we do our first show here, I feel like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm definitely feeling more comfortable after like we have a lot more shows beforehand. Like I think by like US Idol Fest mm-hmm. in end of October, I feel like really confident by that. But yeah, before that, it was feeling like
oh, like, I wish I'm doing this right. Like, I feel like more of an anxious side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really interested right now talking a little bit more about Kaiga Idol Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, in my brain, actually, I guess, like, one of the other really big projects that you all have been working on. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it started before you re-debuted, but then... Yeah, I mean, it started, I think, February
yeah.
of this year. But this series of events that you've got going on is really exciting and quite impressive to me. For the person who doesn't know what Kaiga Idol Pride is, can you talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah, Kaiga Idol Pride is a show that we run ourselves because we realize... maybe there could be more opportunities for overseas idol, for Kaiga idols to perform. So it's essentially a show that has only Kaiga idols, like, performing back to back to back to back. So it would be very similar to what we call a Taiban in Japan. Yeah. So I think, like, Japanese idols, they often do that at live houses, and they usually have that almost every week.
Yeah, almost every week, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, or even Friday, they will have multiple idol groups come together in one event. Mm-hmm. They'll perform usually about, like, 20 minutes to 25 minutes of set list, mm-hmm. and then they all have, like, a meet and greet right after the show.
It's like a big idol party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If the listener, if you're not familiar already, Taiban kind of is like a music festival. And so an idol Taiban is like an idol music festival. Yeah, it's such an interesting series because there is just the population of idol appreciators in Vancouver is so small, partly mm-hmm. because like our population in Vancouver is just so small. Yeah. And so for me as a attendee to some of these events, KIP and otherwise, mm-hmm. It's been really interesting to see all the different types of venues that the events are held at. It's like KIP, the first KIP, mm-hmm. was held in February at the Kulch, mm-hmm. which is kind of like sort of the center of the underground arts and theater scene in Vancouver.
Yeah.
There are like tattoo parlors all around and stuff. But then like the second KIP was like in the middle of the suburbs, right about when, I don't know how familiar you guys are with Port Coquitlam, but it is basically right at the border of where Port Coquitlam starts to become rural and farmland and woods. So that was something that was like, I really, really like seeing just like, as a kitschy thing, I guess, as like a fun, amusing thing for me. But I can't imagine that it's very easy for you all to organize. Talk a little bit about organizing Kaiga Idol Pride, the series.
Yeah, like what you mentioned about the venue is actually the thing that we probably struggled the most about.
Honestly, yeah, that's like the first thing, but it's also the most difficult thing when we try to organize an event because we wanted to find somewhere that it's suitable for our performance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we also want to have an all-age venue. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of idol fans can come and see all the idol shows.
Mm-hmm.
But just these two points actually make it really difficult to find a really good venue.
Yeah, in Vancouver, there are a lot of... Because when you think of an idol show, typically a lot of fans would be standing up kind of like a concert. Because they want to do their wotage, they want to cheer for their idols, they want enough room to jump around and like do big movements. But then at the same time, when we want to accommodate like people who are under 19, a lot of these venues that allow underages attendees are not like that. Would be like theater type, and then like people would be sit in like a certain spot, like a chair. We try to look into like venues that a lot of bands would like be playing in, and then they have an open floor like that people could dance in. But then those venues would be would require like they have an age limit, and it would usually require you if you want to do a show there with underage attendees, you need to buy off the bar, which is like kind of really expensive. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult for us. That's why you see the show being held at like so many odd places.
We're still trying like to find the perfect venue that we want to hold.
Yeah, it's hard in Vancouver, I think, because idol culture is like not super popular here. So a lot of venues are also designed for like bands. They would have like a drum kit there, or like the stage would be really small. Like you can't really have like five people dancing on there, would be like really tough. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a struggle, but we make do.
Yeah, we have one of our friends / staff member to help us with that, and she's been doing a really, really amazing job with helping us organizing KIPP. Mm-hmm. So shout out to her, Kenzie.
Yeah,
she's not here today, but she's actually the one that's helping us the most when we get to like organizing an event.
Yeah,
thank you, Kenzie. Yay. You've been doing a really good job. I think it's also like, personally, my bias would be like, it's a good opportunity for people to explore Vancouver and all the different places, despite how like out of despite how like in the middle of nowhere Port Coquitlam is. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I'm so interested also in knowing about how you curate the sets for KIPP, because the overseas idol scene in general is so diverse. There's like a huge range of concepts and ways of performing. But the first KIPP that you put together focused all on Vancouver music or Vancouver performers. Mm-hmm. There was Cloud Town, Boyer 7, and Estella. Mm-hmm. They're all homegrown in Vancouver. The second one, which happened just a few weeks ago, had some Vancouver representation. Obviously, you were there, and as well, Fruity Zeus was also there. But then you began to dip your toes into international performers as well, like Hinamaki Palettes from Seattle, Meika Oceanus, and Setsuna from Taipei. So talk to me a little bit about what it's like to cast the net for local and international acts when you're curating Gaga Idol Pride.
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, because this is still our second time hosting the last few weeks one was still our second stage. Mm-hmm. So I would say like we're still definitely exploring like what is the best for the Taiban. Mm-hmm. First one, we kind of like start off with like all the local people, because we already know them. We like see them at like shows before, and they're all really nice person to work with. So we want to start off with somebody that we are comfortable working with. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really good success.
Yeah, and then the second time around, we try not to rebook the same act, because we want the show to have like different guests to come on and showcase like different side of like, you know, the idol scene. Mm-hmm. So we figured it's also like a very, I guess, random. Is it not random? Random's not a good word, but it's also like a very out of the blue. Like, I feel like we got lucky with the opportunity like that.
We wasn't thinking of having
like overseas guests. Yeah, because to book Meika Oceanus and Setsuna, that was something that we didn't have planned in our minds, but it's they actually like their staff reached out to us and it's like, hey, we know that you're making an event, would you be interested? And we're like, yeah, that's such a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna say yes to this. Mm-hmm. And They're both really great. Like, both Setsuna and Meika, they're both really great. And then when we're trying to not rebook the same performers in Vancouver, because Vancouver is so small, there's really not a lot of groups. Mm-hmm. So we try to look to our close friend Seattle.
Yeah, because we know some, we all know, like, we've been to Seattle, so we know, like, there are also some idols around there that, like, love to perform as well. So we, like, decide to reach out to them. And I would say, like, Seattle to Vancouver, it's still kind of far,
But yeah. It wasn't too far in terms of like, oh, you don't have to like fly for like 10 hours plus to like be here. So
yeah,
we're really grateful to have them here as well.
I think we also wanted to like introduce like the Vancouver fans about like the Kaigai idols from other side, like outside of Vancouver. And like we also wanted to like know more about the fans in Seattle as well.
Yeah.
So we were hoping for their fans to also come see like who we have like in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver is great. Vancouver has great performers. And one of the impressions that I got was that the performers of the first KIPP already were kind of like rising stars in their own right, or they had already been established. And so they formed a very tight-knit, close community within the fandom and also like amongst themselves. But then seeing what was happening at KIPP 2 also was also very exciting because, I mean, how often do you get, you know, how often do you get people who are just not from Vancouver performing this very niche type of performance coming out here, right? So that was very cool to see. We're going to listen to some music now. Speaking of performances, this is my favorite song by Nonsuite. And the reason why I'm playing it today is because I can get you all into the room so I can talk to you about this. Guys, I need you to perform Crybaby in Vancouver. I need it to happen. Please. I need to see the fans warping.
We did it at the Summerfest.
I haven't
After we debut.
After we debut. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yes, we will.
Nina, do it for me, please.
We will definitely.
Yeah, do it for everybody who listens to Typically Tuesdays, because I play this track a lot. So here's Crybaby by Nonsuite. Enjoy.
Pull me closer, hold me tight. Blood, no more words, breaking all the rules. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Midnight sky, stars align. The wind before the storm. Tonight I will be yours. Tell me that you love me, say it one more time. Stuck inside the twisted daydream in my mind. Holding on to nothing, feel what I wanna feel. But I know deep down. Wonderland, now that you're here, it's upside.